Well, welcome to the situation report for Monday, the 29th of April. Where to start this week? That, by the way, that was Creed. It was called Are You Ready? I thought that was an appropriate song today. It was recommended by M. Thanks, M. Appreciate that. That was a really good call. I listened to it this morning. I was like, I haven't heard this in a while. Great song. Creed's got a really good album. I mean, their whole catalog is good, and yeah, you can't go wrong. And it seemed appropriate today. I want to share a meme here that I got over the weekend, which I love when my admins send me stuff because sometimes it makes me totally geek out. There's an episode from The Simpsons that folks have posted a meme to. And bear with me a second. I have to put it in PowerPoint so I can share the slide because StreamYard doesn't like just sharing your screen. I don't know why. They make you share everything, so not really an effective way to do it, but you'll get the gist of it here when I share this out. So this is floating around. I have to save it. I love this. All right, see if I can share this out here. So the what's interesting about this is that The Simpsons is, over the years, the show's been on like 30 years, but over the years, they've been right, predicted things with 80% accuracy, 89% accuracy to be precise, which is kind of amazing. And anyway, so this meme was going around. Hang on a second, just taking a second for it to process. But this meme was going around all weekend. And what I think is interesting about it is notice the date, 5/5/24, nuclear explosion. Dates here, RIP 2024, Joe Biden. I thought it was interesting. Yeah, we'll see what happens on the 5th. I mean, but look, I did copy in a mic today with Mike Ferris. And we talked before the show, we were talking about the black pill that most of us in the truth community have already taken and how people are blissfully unaware. And he wanted to talk about the elections. He wanted to talk about Trump, which I'm not going to talk about in the sit rep. I wanted to talk about predictive programming, which is what this is. This is what you see in front of you. It's predictive programming. This is the elite telling you they're going to do some kind of an event and they're going to remove Biden from power in 2024. And note the Ukrainian flag. I don't know when this episode aired, but it tells you a lot about where the elite are at. And I hear a lot of things throughout the weekend, and let me put some things in perspective. So I get flooded with, you should do this, you should talk about this on your show, you should have these things in your hip pocket, you really want to talk to this person, that person. I get all kinds of that stuff all weekend long. But I got the Simpsons meme from one of my admins, by the way. Thanks, Simon, appreciate that. And then I got an interview, which I posted in the it's in the comments section, not in the chat. And it's an interview with Pascal Najati and Alex Jones. And I sent it to the guys in the round table. And I'm like, in a word, wow. Why would Alex Jones allow this guy on his show? I mean, this guy, to me, this guy's a loon. Because he's talking about Trump's in charge and Trump's still the commander in chief and Schwab is dead. The Clintons are dead. Remember that whole thing from Real Raw News? The Clintons are dead. They were executed. And then Podesta was killed. I think Podesta's been killed like 3 times in Real Raw News. So that guy's either got 9 lives or whatever the case may be. But what you're seeing right now is you're seeing the entire system flooded with a variety of garbage information. And there's probably some true information in there. In addition to that, there's a conversation from this guy who is supposedly, he's supposedly a former Illuminati. And let me post this one in the chat. And this guy, this is Red Pill Drifter posted this in X, and It's an interesting, it's like a 50-minute video, but his name's George Green, and he's supposedly ex-Illuminati, and he's talking about what their plans are and how they're going to use a neutron bomb or biologicals to you know, kill off most of humanity. And then there's another interview with Eric Prince and with James O'Keefe, where Eric Prince is dropping bombs. Look, here's the bottom line. There's going to be a variety of information that's flooded into the system to confuse people and disorient them. If there is a real event that's on the horizon, say, for lack of a better word, if 5/5 is an actual event, a nuclear event, then it'll be a significant event. And, you know, I've said we were past the event horizon. We are. We're past the event horizon. We're waiting for whatever catalyst event that they're going to push on the public. However that turns out, the most important thing that you should be paying attention to right now is being prepared as you can be, right? And I get this question all the time too. And that is, how much gold and silver should I have in the house? How much ammo should I have in the house? How much water should I have in the house? You should have, if you can store it, as much water as you can store. You can live without food for a time, but you can't live without water. And you should have as much water as you can, especially here in the desert. We're limited by the amount of water we have anyway. And if you don't have reverse osmosis, it tastes like garbage. Filtered yard waste is probably a better word for it. Yeah, it's a really unfiltered yard waste, but it's clear, so you have to say it's filtered, but it really does taste like yard waste without reverse osmosis. So the point is, there has to be, you have to be as prepared as you can be. Nobody can be completely prepared, right? You can't store 2 years worth of water. I'm sure some people can, but most people can't. And you can't store 10 years worth of food. It's just not real. So you want to have stuff you can barter with. You want to have stuff that you can use as currency. You want to have stuff that you can use to help other people and help your, you know, your family and your friends. But you can only do what you can do. And just keep your focus on that. Don't keep your focus on, I have to have this or I have to have X or Y. None of that matters. What matters is do what you can do. And that will carry you as far as you need to go. And that really the key thing is just to stay calm, no matter what happens, to stay calm and be the calmest person in the room. I've seen, that's the other thing that's going on right now, seeing people losing their minds literally all over the place. It's amazing to me how many people have completely lost context into the entire situation. And I'll give you, for instance, today, last night, midnight, these guys are racing down the freeway, and it's, you know, there's literally no traffic, total road rage incident. And they come blowing by me. They go around each side of me. They're doing at least 100, weaving in front of each other, slamming on their brakes. I'm like, that's a lot of energy. That's just way too much energy for midnight. And, you know, part of it is that people they've run out of patience. They've run out of empathy. They've run out of compassion. And part of it is because as things are starting to dwindle, you're seeing the moral fibers as well as the social fibers of our entire civilization starting to fray. That's by design. Flooding so much garbage information into the system right now. They want you to be disoriented. They want you to be confused, and they want you to be myopic in how you view the world. They don't want you to see the big picture. They don't want you to organize in your local level. They don't want you to make human connections. They want you to be disconnected with social media. They want you to be disconnected with television. They want you to be disconnected with games. They want you to be disconnected with drugs. Are you starting to see the pattern here? All those things in your environment that people take for granted, they're all meant to disconnect you from society. They're all meant to disconnect you from the people you care about. And every single time, now alcohol is a perfect example. You get into alcohol, you're going to be isolated because it literally disconnects you from reality. And the more that you lock into that social paradigm, the less you're going to be able to interact with other people. That was the whole point of social media in the first place. It was never about spreading information. It was never about information at the speed of light. It was always about building silos, dividing people, and disconnecting people from reality. And if you think that, if you think I'm kidding, go look at how much time your teenagers spend building personas on Instagram and Snapchat, even TikTok now, where they spend all their time building a persona that is not real. And it takes a lot of time to cultivate and to maintain that persona. So they're always up in the ante. I mean, back in my day, I sound like Ross Perot. Look, here's Dale. Back in my day, we used to actually have to go up to a woman and actually talk to her and ask her out and actually interact with her. Now, my God, you ask a kid on a date and it's like you have to show up with a fire truck and you have to have a helicopter land. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's become a production. That's the direct ascent of social media. It has is literally built a hive mind, and it's peer pressure has taken on a whole new realm. And that's just the social aspect. That's just the persona. Has nothing to do with the sexualization of kids, has nothing to do with communication. It's all about persona, and that persona is a time suck. That's why I keep saying step away from social media and focus your efforts on making visceral connections with people where you're seeing them, you're reading their facial expression, you hear the inflection, you hear the tone of their voice, you see their body language. That is way more important right now than any of the technology out there. And it's, you know, watching social media over the last 10 years, and, you know, I've given several lectures about it at a number of universities where I talk about the impact of social media on the moral fiber of our society and how it affects the information war. But more importantly, social media is a smorgasbord of information collection for all the intelligence agencies. They don't need to build dossiers on people. You build it yourself. And you literally will invest the time, the energy, and all of the horsepower to make sure that that entire persona is complete. They can build a profile off of you like that, especially now with AI. So the more that you limit your social media footprint, the more you're going to be able to disconnect from all that. And the why it's important now is imagine that you have kids that are addicted to social media, and all of a sudden, social media is taken offline. Think about the impact of that. You're talking about an addict that can't get a hit. They're going to lose their minds. So there's all this going on at the same time. And why I'm talking about this today versus next week is, let's say the fifth happens. I tend to think it's not going to, but you never know. I don't think the elite are stupid enough to do a nuclear attack on U.S. citizens. And there, of course, it's, and let's just be clear, if there's any nuclear attack on this country, it's by our own fucking government, and it's by the CIA fucking A, by no one else, not the Iranians, not the Russians, not the Chinese. It's by our own government, by the CIA. So if they're dumb enough to do that, then I guarantee you anybody that buys into the narrative that follows that is a moron. But now is the time to be ready for what's going to come. And go out and make sure your weapons are clear. Make sure your actions are clear. Make sure that you've, you know, do some shooting this week if you can. We are on the precipice of an event, whatever that is. I tend to think it's going to be a release of a biological pathogen, because the other gem that came out this week is the bird flu in pasteurized milk. Somebody explain to me how that's possible, when the whole point of pasteurization is to boil the shit out. This is how dumb society is. This is how dumb they think you are, that they can literally push this narrative, bring out the PCR test, because you know that's accurate, and go test for bird flu in pasteurized milk. The dumbest shit I've ever heard. Literally the dumbest shit I've ever heard. And yet, that was yet another message that was sent to me over the weekend. That's we spend more time trying to unwind stupid shit like, you know, the Alex Jones interview, Mr. You know, everybody in the Illuminati is dead. Everybody in the WEF is dead. Don't worry about it. Good guys or women. Trump's coming back. It's all weekend. Look, you know who's running the government right now? China. Because the guy in office is a Chinese asset. The guy behind him, Obama, is a Chinese asset. The people around him are Maoists, all of them. So it may look strange that Joe's not in charge. But that doesn't mean Trump's in charge. It means that there's a bunch of assholes behind him that are doing things to destroy our country. And that brings me to the next thing that was, you know, popping up over the weekend. And that is Speaker Johnson's the motion to vacate. Let me just give you the 411 on what's going on in Congress. There was a five-year plan here in Arizona to convert the state to blue. And this was when Karen Fan was president of the Senate. This is why she didn't do anything to override Ducey's veto, to implement any kind of voter ID or U.S. citizenship to vote. This is the plan. And so they're still on plan. They're calmly, coolly, and collectively institutionalizing the cheating across Arizona. And oh, by the way, they're using lawfare against anybody who questioned the election in 2020 and 2022. So while you may think that Trump's in charge, which he's not, by the way. And I can say that unequivocally because I asked Kash Patel directly before a show I did with him. And he said no. And he was actually laughing when I asked him. I go, you know what I'm talking about? He goes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And he stayed away from the whole Q conversation. But yet there's still people that believe ardently that Trump is still in charge. He's not. Because if I was president, I wouldn't let any of this shit happen. I would have, first of all, I would have fired everybody in the Pentagon. I would have gone down to the fucking janitor and I would have gotten rid of him. I would have arrested every single defense contractor that came in and provided weapons that were dog shit like the F-35. I would have arrested them. I would have arrested them for fucking treason and corruption. I wouldn't let this continue. And then I would replace every one of those generals, every colonel, every lieutenant colonel, every major, every captain that believes in DEI or believes in any of the rest of that nonsense, I would replace them immediately. I would force them out of the military for dereliction of duty. And I would prosecute some of those generals under Article 104 of the UCMJ, which is aiding the enemy. That's what I would have done if I was Trump. If I was still in charge, none of this would be happening. That's why I say this is, it's a pipe dream to think that he's still in charge. But yet, you know, Alex Jones, he actually let the guy talk. And then at the end of it, he goes, I think that guy's out of his mind, which I agree with. But why would you allow that on your show? Because for every guy like him, there's probably five or six others that ardently believe that that's true. And there's no empirical truth or evidence of any of that. None. There's no evidence that that's true. But that's what we're dealing with on the information scape. That's why it's so important to walk away from social media, because it's just full of garbage. I mean, I could go through Telegram. There's like 50 channels of abject nonsense. Like my favorite is, I don't know if anybody heard of this gal. Her name's Kim Galgen, and she's in the alternative space. And I'm not making this up. She literally says that she has her little quantum computer. She manages the world's financial system all by herself. And that she allocates money to all these different governments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bitch, when the pink elephants come to you at night, tell them you need a lift home because you are fucking crazy. But that is that's the garbage that's in the system. That's the stuff that we have to unwind. You know, for those of us who live in the real world, that's what we have to unwind every single day to try and get people to focus on what's important. And the bigger picture is way more important than the politics in D.C., the politics at the local government, or any of the nonsense that you see related to the whole alien question. I mean, you got to ask yourself a question. And I joke about it all the time. But if you're going to travel all the way across the universe or interdimensionally, I love that term, interdimensional beings. Oh, that's some good bullshit. And look, I like my bullshit freshly packaged and well delivered. And that's some fantastic bullshit. However, comma, it's still bullshit. And anytime you get into that realm, it's flooded with garbage information, and you will never know the truth until they actually land. And I have to ask the question, why would they travel interdimensionally or across the universe to come to a planet where our political system, our economic system, and our social system are completely chaotic? Why would they do that to themselves? I mean, they would have to lobotomize themselves to come here and actually interface with humans, because you have a portion of the human population massively superstitious. Then you have another portion of the population massively evil. Then you have another portion of the population completely checked out. So what would you have to gain by doing that? But yet they're here. They're here. They're helping us out. They're running the financial system. That's the garbage that we have to wade through every single day. And it's why most of us lose our patience thinking about it, talking about it, because it's endless, endless nonsense. Right now, there's three things to remember. Only three. There's not a lot of math here. One, you're not alone. Two, there's nothing that they say is real. Nothing. Everything you've been told about our history, everything you've been told about historical events is all nonsense. None of it's true. And third, and most importantly, the power we have as a society, and this is what scares the shit out of them the most, is if we unify as a society, if we unify against the top 1%, the top 1 million people on this planet, guess what happens? They lose all their power, every bit of it. And they don't have enough jackbooted thugs to arrest everyone. They need your voluntary compliance in order to implement their social scoring system and their control measures. If we unite against that, and we unite as unanimously as a society, say we are not going to participate, go fuck yourselves. Guarantee you they can't do anything about it. That's where they lose their power. That's why social media is so important to them. That's why all of the legacy media is so important to them, because it's all about divide and conquer. It's all about creating different silos of people and pitting them against each other. That's all they've done throughout history. That's what they're trying to do today. And if they're dumb enough to drop a nuclear weapon or explode a nuclear weapon in a U.S. city, that's civil war. And the truth will come out. They will not be able to obfuscate this. The truth will come out about this, because this is one of the most heinous acts they could possibly do. And if they're that dumb, they are going to lose control. That's how this works. This won't be this major event and they point to Iran and say Iran did it or China did it. They're not, first of all, they don't have a reason to nuke us. That would be stupid, be suicidal for them. And secondly, and most importantly, why? Why would they do that? You nuke a bunch of civilians to get back at the government? There's far better ways to go after our government versus a nuclear attack on one of our cities. That's why I say if it's an attack here, it's an attack by our own government. And I'm going on record saying that, because when it comes around full circle and people realize that that's actually the truth, they'll see, first off, that people were talking about this before the event. And look, the fact that this is in The Simpsons and this is a cartoon that's predicting the future and has an 89% accuracy, that's fucking agency right there. That's exactly what that is. If there is no way that the writers of a show could be that accurate that amount of the time for this long without some kind of input from the intelligence agencies. So if it is true, then guess what? They just tip their hand. And if they're going to do that, I guarantee you, we will pick up arms against them. I will tell you that right now. Most Americans will not put up with that kind of shit on our soil. And that's the part about the military that these people do not understand, is that when we plant our flag in the ground, that's sovereign territory. We are not going to give that up. And our creed, I will not leave a fallen comrade on the battlefield, means something to most Americans. And we're not going to let that go idly. We're not going to let that go quietly. This is our territory. This is our land. If these people don't have the common sense to realize that, and they attack us, guess what? They're traitors of the highest order, and then it's open fucking season, and there's no bag limit. I'm telling you, the truth will come out. Because when you plan something like that, you're asking people in the system to burn the bridge they're standing on. People are not going to do that. They're going to look around and see their family and their friends. And they're going to go, nope, I'm not doing that. Why would I do that? Even the most ardent loners with no family are going to take pause. Because the question really is, do I want to be the guy in history that pulled the trigger on a nuclear weapon in an American city? Do I want to be that guy? Do I want to be remembered as that? That's really what you're asking. And that's really what the question is. What kind of a person would attack their own country without a second thought? It's not a true believer. It's not a true believer. That's the true believers believe in whatever means to accomplish the goal of implementing communism around the world. Blah, 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 blah. Now, this is somebody truly evil, that truly despises America. This is somebody that's been here a very long time, a guy like Barry. Obama would be just that guy. He's just that evil. The Clintons are just that evil. The Bush family is just that evil. That's the sort of person you're talking about. Somebody who's lived off the social strata their entire life, completely divorced from the reality of being an average American citizen or an average person for that matter, and divorced from reality. That's exactly the type of person you're talking about. Who fits that bill? Hillary, Bill, Barry, GW, Debbie. That fucking shrub. You see where I'm going with this? The bigger picture right now has nothing to do with what's going on in Congress or that theater. It has nothing to do with who's in charge. It's about what's next. What should I keep my eyes on now? And look, several things have happened in Ukraine. And one of the first ones is that they're doing a strategic retreat right now. Strategic retreat. They are moving backwards actively across the front. Now, if I was a betting man and I'd listened to Scott Ritter and Doug McGregor or Dave Conrad, or even Troop for that matter, I would tell you that they're probably going to go to the Dnieper River and establish a defensive perimeter along the Dnieper River because it's a natural boundary. It's a long-running river. Lots of opportunity for dominant terrain. That would be my guess, which, by the way, is the same border that the Russians proposed back in March of 2022 when all this started as the temporary boundary or buffer zone between the Russian-speaking areas of Ukraine and the rest of greater Ukraine. That was the original agreement. So it sure sounds to me like they're moving back and preparing for peace. But I could be wrong. They could be just prolonging it and moving backwards so that they can sue for peace in November after Joe and Cameltoe actually are installed again, which I don't think is going to happen anyway. But there is movement on the Ukrainian front, which is going to be very interesting because now's the time. If NATO's going to get involved, now's the time it's going to happen. So there are lots of things going on, but the signal in all of this is going to be what happens on the 5th. Is that a real day? Is it just more of the same noise? It's a big nothing like the eclipse. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to develop, but I will say that the actual event started with the missile exchanges, whether it was Kabuki Theater or not, between the Israelis and the Iranians. That gave the elite the justification to conduct operations here in the U.S. and the cover. And the cover is the narrative. So whatever comes next is going to be blamed on Iran. And it's probably going to be within the next few weeks anyway, just because they have to ramp up the pro-Palestinian stuff, which is, by the way, they're all paid actors. The university stuff is nonsense. They're the new BLM. They're the new Antifa. Their whole job is to create chaos over the summer, burn down some more cities, and guess what? Lead us into the election. And they'll try and they're going to try and blame all of it on Trump. But, you know, whatever. I don't pay attention to it because I don't care. Just like I don't pay attention to mainstream news. I don't pay attention to local news. Even the local news is nonsense. Everything they say is just, it's gaslighting nonsense. And to me, news people are like, they're like politicians, right? They're just a group of fucking morons that will read whatever's in front of them. Most of them aren't smart enough to even understand the stuff they're reading. They're just reading out loud. So they'll put any suit in front of a story that doesn't make sense. But the thing that makes sense right now is the fact that they're obviously prepping the public for something. And they're prepping the public for some kind of an event. Whatever that is, whether it's biological, nuclear, doesn't matter. What matters is spend the time you have now to get ready for what's coming. And use that time wisely. I mean, I spent several hours on the range yesterday with Troop, just zeroing weapons, you know, getting used to sight picture again. He spent 20 minutes squaring me away on the way I was holding my pistol. And it's just bad habits that I've formed since I left the military. And that's what happens when you're not paying attention. And, you know, in the military, you spend most of your time on rifles anyway. And I used to shoot a lot. And then I stopped for 4 or 5 years when my brother was sick. And look, you develop bad habits. The key thing is I was open to what he was saying to me. And I was listening. And, you know, first of all, he's a great instructor. He's a very good instructor. And he knows what he's talking about. He's a good shot. So the point is, I use that time wisely. And I'm glad I had the time with him. Because you may not get it again. So use it wisely. But if you hear me say anything today, spend time with your family. Spend time with your friends. If there's people around you care about, make sure you remind them you care about them. Now's the time. Because if something does happen, you're going to kick yourself for not saying it. So use that time wisely. That's the biggest thing you can do right now. Now, one of the other things I wanted to talk through, this is going to be fairly short today just because I've got too many other things going on. The round table on Wednesdays, we're going to try. I'm working out a deal right now and trying to work out. So there's two round tables a week. There's the main round table on Wednesday night, and then there's ad hoc round tables based on current events. We did an ad hoc round table when the missile strikes were going on, and it seemed to me like that was well received. So we're looking at ways to do multiple round tables where it's not dependent on me. It's not dependent on anybody in the group. It's whoever's available can jump on the round table and do the discussion. And it was Bracken's idea, which I thought was fantastic. So that's what I'm working on right now. And the other thing is that the economy, I think we're probably, Tom Luongo will disagree with me. He thinks the dollar is going to be strong into September, October. I don't get that feeling. I get the feeling right now that banks are contracting, that financial institutions or financial investment houses are contracting. I'm looking at the market. I'm looking at the housing market, which isn't moving. I'm looking at the refi market, which isn't moving. I mean, nobody's going to sign up for an 8% deal. But then when you couple that with the job market is dead. There's nothing out there. And, you know, and I'm saying that from tapping my network, talking to people to see what's out there in the environment. There's not a lot out there. And it's whatever's out there, there's a lot of people unemployed. So we're starting to see all those lines of operation come together at the same time. And what's interesting to me about the lines of operation is that the train derailments have continued, but we haven't seen a disruption in the supply chain. The issues with the bridges have been basically ignored by the press. So you're seeing slowly but surely encroachment into all of the different logistical areas. But once they start ramping up, and they are ramping up because everybody now is talking about the fact that they've increased the tempo and the pace of the things that are happening. I agree. So it's all looks like it's coming together sometime in the summer, which would coincide with the pro-Palestinian protests. Now, here's the interesting thing with the Palestinian protests. Those are all bought and paid for by Soros and by NGOs that are on the left and by probably elite in New York and in LA and in San Francisco. There's nothing about these Palestinian protests that are real. Not one thing. What's interesting about it, though, is look at the police presence. The police presence is there not to maintain order. It's there to keep and to monitor the situation. But it's really just to show and get people used to having an expanded police presence for any kind of protest. That's really what it is. It's programming the public to accept more police for any kind of a demonstration. And they're not doing anything to the protesters. Some of the shows of the Kabuki Theater of people being arrested, it's all nonsense. They literally are letting them do whatever they want to do on college campuses. The question is it going to spill over into the streets and are they going to continue once school's out? I would say yes, they are. But it's going to be a funded activity, which means they're going to have very targeted goals. And everything they did in 2000 or 2020 when they did the Chaz BLM riots, that was all the test bed and the precursor for this year. They'll up the ante, but they'll do it under pro-Palestinian. And the reason why they're using pro-Palestinian is so that they can generate some kind of a domestic terrorist situation and drive some kind of lockdown, which, by the way, Airbnb, Google, and a number of other organizations are all updating their terms of service to include weather events, natural disasters, and government shutdowns. They're literally telling us that after June 6th, D-Day, by the way, the anniversary of D-Day, they're going to restrict travel. And Airbnb updated their terms of service last week to say that literally after June 6th, we expect there to be travel restrictions. Got to ask the question, what do they know that we don't? They already know they're planning for some kind of a contingency where there's social disorder and they're putting in restrictions for travel. That should tell you everything you need to know. What they're setting conditions for martial law. They're adding extended and more police coverage for demonstrations that they assume are going to happen after whatever event. That's the only conclusion I can draw from this. There's probably others, but when I look at all the other data points around that, it really does point to some kind of an event followed by martial law, followed by restrictions, followed by the shutdown of social media. That's literally what it looks like. And I could be wrong. I could be completely off base, but I've spent the last 2 days literally looking over tons and tons of information that's been sent by a variety of people, and some are still in the system. And that's the interesting thing about all this. The people in the system that I'm talking to are giving me all kinds of weird data points, things I've never heard of before, things I've never even heard come out of their mouths before. So whichever way this goes, doesn't matter. What happens after that and how we react and how we respond to society does. And this is a time to remind people who we are, what America stands for, what Americans are all about, and not sit there and listen to the rhetoric from the left. First of all, none of them, all of them are morally bankrupt, every single one of them. Even most of the people on the right that are leaders, they're all gutless turds. And it brings me to the last piece of this. The stuff that's going on in Congress. The whole point of what's going on in Congress is distraction. There's nothing productive coming out of Congress. So don't waste any time on it. There's literally nothing there. It's just Kabuki theater and nonsense. Not one thing they've done since 2000 has been beneficial for the American people. So why waste time on it? Let them pass all the fucking laws they want to pass. Pass whatever laws. because when the Americans raise up against them, laws aren't going to matter. And besides, the whole point of it is you have to decide at what point does following the rules become more painful than not following the rules and raising arms? That's really the question that's left. No other questions left. You want to live under communist rule by a bunch of pedophiles, or do you want to potentially lose your life and liberate your country? It's really the only question, which, by the way, was the conversation that Mike Ferris and I had today. And I said, look, I don't mean to be doom and gloom. I'm just trying to give people a realistic picture of what's going on and what's coming. Because most people are blissfully unaware. They don't want to know. Like my personal favorite of the people, like, I just want to hear things that are positive. I can't hear anything negative. My God, this is too hard on my psyche. Well, you're in for a really tough go of it, pal, because you're about to hit a whole bunch of negative. And the other side of this is these people don't care about any of us. They've already written us off. So why would you pay attention to people that have already written you off? I don't get the math there. And, you know, after sitting on VTCs with all of the, you know, leaders in DC and with, you know, the leaders in in Iraq, you know, all of the coalition leaders, one thing stood out to me during that whole thing. They don't value human life at all. You know, we did our action combat action reports, and we were filing, you know, after action reports. It was literally two U.S. KIA, 20 Iraqi killed. No names, no faces, raw numbers. It's just statistics for them. They don't care about anything else. The only thing they care about is 500 million are left that they can control. And that is literally where the rubber's going to meet the road for them. They literally think that they can manage chaos. Good luck with that, because the law of unintended consequences is about to slap them in the face. And when it does, I'm hoping I'm there for a front row seat, because it's going to be priceless to watch some of these people realize that they've lost power and the barbarians are at the gates, because the barbarians will be at the gates. This is not going to go politely or quietly for them. And most importantly, most of them are not going to survive this. Doesn't matter how deep the hole is they're in. You can blow up an air shaft. You can blow up an elevator. You can do a lot of things to a bunker that'll make it miserable. So good luck with that. I'm pretty sure that everybody that's around your high-speed, low-drag, mock-turbo bunker that's highly secure, it's probably not as secure as you think. So, you know, this word to the wise. Little tip from Uncle Steve here to help you out. The next few weeks are going to be very, very chaotic. The next few months are going to be even more chaotic. Focus on signal. And the signal right now is building sphere of influence and increasing your line of sight. That is signal. Everything else is noise. Social media is noise. News is noise. Ukraine is noise. Doesn't matter. Focus on being prepared right now. Don't wait. And be as prepared as you can be. And most importantly, vet everybody that comes into your group. Take nothing at face value, especially now. Because what you're going to see is going to be all kinds of infiltration and all kinds of disruption, interdiction. That's what the feds are going to try and do next. So get off of social media. Get out of technology. Use two cans and a string if you have to. Pass notes if you have to. But stay off of tech as much as possible. And do yourself a favor. Don't pay attention to any of the mainstream media that's coming out. It's all garbage. Even the stuff that's supposedly trusted source, it's nonsense right now. I haven't seen anything in the last 2 weeks that was even remotely real. And I'll give you a case in point. The O'Keefe interview with Eric Prince, it's about an hour long. And you watch it and you realize some very striking things. Like one of the first things I noticed about it was Prince doesn't go after the regime at all. He's always stopped short of it, right? He talks about leaders, and leaders aren't stepping up, and they're all feckless, but he doesn't say specifically who that is. I mean, if this is a guy that really wants to change the situation, he should be calling out the people in the system, because he's in the system. He still owns Blackwater or Z, whatever it's called now. He's still working for the federal government. He knows who the fucking traitors are. You don't think that if we're on the precipice of a major event, he doesn't know about it? And you don't think if he doesn't know about it, he knows who the key players are that are trying to precipitate it? And yet he's always stopped short of that conversation of who it is. And then he stopped short of what's the next thing that we need to do? Okay, well, great. You can out people. Good for you. But what are you going to do to right the ship? It's one thing to be in that position of power and do disclosure. It's another thing to out the people that are behind it. That's what has to drop now, is who are the people precipitating this? What are their plans? Doxing them and their plans goes a long ways towards interdicting those plans. The longer you sit on your hands, especially at that level, guess what? More people die. So I that's my only problem with the O'Keefe interview, right? And so the other thing O'Keefe said is he's going to drop the story of his life, where he talks about the FBI and he talks about the CIA. Okay, that was on the 26th. We're on the 29th. Where's the story, James? And it's just like Tucker Carlson, right? I think Tucker Carlson is being groomed to be the source of truth for alternative media. And I think that Twitter X is being groomed to be that source of truth, that town square. I don't trust Elon Musk at all. I don't trust anything about him. I think everything about him is bullshit. And the fact that he was sitting in front of a fucking Chinese delegate talking about how good of friends they are should give you pause. Like, why are you talking to our enemy? I'll tell you why. Because you took money from them and they're guiding the ship. And by the way, WeChat is Twitter. They took the code from Twitter because you have to give China the source code if you want to operate there. And then they built WeChat. And then Elon Musk comes out magically and says, I want to make Twitter into WeChat. Gee, I wonder where that idea came from. That's just what we need. Another, you know, billionaire asshole lying shithead to build yet another platform for people to get immersed in and controlled by. No, I don't think so. We need to go back to a system that can't be manipulated by people. And I don't know what that system is off the top of my head, but I know it's not Twitter. I know it's not WeChat. I know we don't need any more fucking technology or technologists or oligarchs that are technologists trying to dictate how we as a society interact. I think we've seen enough of that over the last 25 years, and we know exactly how that turns out. They turn into rich, powerful assholes with no conscience, and the rest of us have to deal with all the shit that they send downstream through the political system, through the medical system, and through all of the rest of the education system. So why would I want more of that stupid shit? Yeah, Elon Musk is the fucking savior of free speech. Get the fuck out of here with that. My God, that's the biggest line of horseshit I've ever heard. And the moment that he started, and by the way, I've said this before and it bears repeating. How is it that a rich billionaire asshole can go acquire a company in the public space and out all of the public decisions and the public financing in the public space and not go to fucking jail for it while the rest of us send one email while we're in the middle of an acquisition and we go to prison for 20 years? Yeah, we need more of that shit. Give me a break. That whole Twitter acquisition was staged by the CIA and the Chinese, and it was staged for public consumption. And they put this asshole in charge of Twitter, which, by the way, he's still censoring people, where he talks about your volume will be turned down if you say things that are offensive. Yeah, that's called censorship, you fucking asshole. That's what that is. That's not volume. That's censorship, you lying sack of shit. And I hope you hear me, Elon, you fucking nutsack. I watch everything you do, and every time you open your mouth, you contradict yourself. First, you say that you want Twitter to be like WeChat. Then you sit in front of the Chinese and wonder why nobody trusts you. Lying sack of shit. My God. We don't need any more tech oligarchs. In fact, we need to get rid of the tech oligarchs that are here. They need to go to prison for crimes against humanity, all of them, including Sergey Brin. That's what led us here. We need to make sure when this is over on the other side of this, that never happens again. And a town square is a town square. No matter how offensive the speech is, a town square is a town square. Doesn't matter if it's online, offline, or if it's in the middle of the fucking ocean. It's still a town square. Everybody gets a voice. That's how this has to be. This nonsense of speech is hate, speech is violence. It's a bunch of nonsense by a bunch of fucking weaklings and a bunch of fucking politically correct retards that spend their time doing nothing other than creating problems and finding something to complain about. You know what those people need? They'd be slapped by a two-bit fucking whore and told to shut the fuck up, turn the channel, or move on. We've allowed this to go on long enough. Can you tell I'm a little bit tired of the political correctness? This is why social media is such a red herring. Because you have guys like Elon Musk that are openly lying to the public about what his intention is and who he's really working with. And people latch onto that and buy that narrative that he's the savior of free speech. That is the farthest thing from the truth. That's why I say focus on the signal right now. Focus on the visceral connections. Focus on the people that you actually know and trust. And don't focus on any of the noise. Because at some point, they're going to shut down Rumble. They're going to shut down True Social. They're going to shut down Telegram. And they're going to shut down Gab. And they'll probably shut down Minds. But the only thing that Minds has over the rest of them is that Minds is decentralized. They purposely made it decentralized so that they couldn't take it down like they did to Parler on Amazon. That's what's coming. That's why I say focus on Signal right now and don't focus on the rest of this. Because when you don't have social media, you're going to have to be able to communicate. And that could be radio, that could be two cans and a string. It could be a courier. Start planning for that now because it's coming. That's what the purpose of the event is. It's not to just enforce the martial law. It's about bringing in all the draconian measures and restricting everything so they tell you what to think. They tell you what to believe. They tell you what to eat. They tell you where to sleep. And they tell you what to do with your time. That's what's coming. And they're going to precipitate it any way, shape, or form. And all these guys that are put out in front as icons, Tucker, Elon, they're all staged. I don't believe any of these people are real. I don't care what anybody says to me. Until these guys actually go out on a limb and say something about the people behind this, which, by the way, all of them know who is behind this. All of them do. And it's not just the intelligence agencies. And I'll tell you why. When I was in the desert, I figured out two things. Number one, he who has the budget calls the shots. Number two, doesn't matter what rank you are, doesn't matter what title you have, you're always somebody else's bitch. I was the general's bitch. The general was Negroponte's bitch. Negroponte was Condoleezza Rice's bitch. Condoleezza Rice was Bush's bitch. Bush was the bitch of the elite that put him in office. And they're the bitch of the people that are financing them. And they're the bitch of the people that are above them in strata. You're always somebody else's bitch. So you can't tell me that Elon is not somebody's bitch. He's somebody's bitch. Whose bitch is he? And what do they want him to be the bitch for? And what did he have to sell his soul for to get his Tesla stock to go up? What did he have to do to sell his soul to get Twitter? He didn't get that for free. He financed a lot of it through Sequoia, which is a Chinese front for investment, as well as a number of CIA fronts that funded him as well. So you're telling me that he's nobody's bitch? Give me a break. He's somebody's bitch. Whose bitch is he? And why isn't he talking about the fact he's a bitch? That's the point of it. None of it adds up. There's no straight path to where these guys actually report into. I don't think Tucker is just some guy that just got a conscience after 30 years of being in the system at Fox News. I mean, he stayed long after Trump was thrown out of office. He saw all that take place. He saw all of the stuff that Hannity was doing. He saw Hannity running around tonguing Trump's balls for, what, 2-3 years while he was in office? And then all of a sudden he's anti-Trump? Come on. Tucker was in that system for 30 years. You're telling me that guy turned over a new leaf? That's my favorite part of that, too. Is somebody saying to me, well, you could change. No, not in this system, you can't. In this system, if you buy in, you're in for life. If you're funded by somebody, you're funded for life, or you're thrown out and excommunicated. And if you're excommunicated, most of the time at that level, you die in a car accident, or you die from low altitude descent therapy. Either way, you don't stay in the system. It's just like some of the black programs. You go in, you don't come out. Be careful what you wish for. And all of a sudden, these guys are supposed to be trusted sources of information. I don't buy into that. That's why I keep saying, assume everything is bullshit and work your way backwards towards the truth. And somewhere in the middle, you're going to find the truth, or at least part of it. These guys are not messiahs. These guys are not, they're not above board. I don't care what you think, they are not above board. If they were, they would be outing the people that are the deep dark. They would give it, they'd be giving the public the information they really need to know, which is who are the belly buttons behind all of this and who is the person that's pulling all the strings to make all this happen. You hear none of that from Eric Prince. You hear none of that from Tucker Carlson. You don't hear any of it from Joe Rogan. In fact, if you go back to the Rogan-Tucker interview, that to me was a script. That was a script they were playing out to tell people that alternative realities, alternative universes, and the rest of it are supposedly real. And then on top of that, we're supposed to believe that this transhumanist thing and the next phase of human evolution is some kind of a cybernetic organism that's driven by AI. Yeah, that's a script. That's the continuation of the narratives we've been hearing. And, oh, by the way, there's aliens out there somewhere, but they've always been here. The whole question's nonsense. And it's completely flooded with garbage information, so you'll never find out what the truth is with aliens. But supposedly our government's been communicating with aliens for years and years and years. I've seen all that. I've talked about all that. The point is they were reading a script. And that script was designed to influence you to believe that that's actually taking place right now. And none of it is important. What are you going to do with that information? Where are you going to go with it? Are you going to go, you know, plan your life savings around some new technology? No. Are you going to benefit from if they disclose that there's an alternative energy source? Potentially. But in what way are they going to try and monetize that? There's just this thing is free in this system. And the fact that they're talking about this stuff and they've got inside sources. Okay, somebody on the inside wants to know what's out there. But why? What could you possibly do with that information? It's the same with the stuff that Trump's in charge. Okay, Trump's in charge. That leads to a bunch of questions like, okay, why is he allowing the jab to continue? Why hasn't Fauci been arrested? Why hasn't he been like arrested and put on public trial? All those questions are sitting there. Oh, well, the public's got to know. No, they don't. The public should know who's behind this. The public should know what the intent is. The public should know that these people in DC don't represent them. And all of these influencers that are at that level, they all know it. Every single one of them knows who's in charge. Do you hear them talking about it? No, you don't. Because it's just up to the red line. They hit the bumpers and then they stay off of it. That to me is where the rubber meets the road. If you're a trusted source, if you want to be a source of truth, then tell the truth. Tell the whole truth. Put your life in danger like everybody else does. You don't think any of the rest of us haven't got death threats? Jesus, the first time I questioned the whole Q narrative, I had like 100 death threats, like within 24 hours. And people just lost their minds. And you don't think that they should, you know, pony up? Yeah. If you have the power to stop what is about to happen, if you have the power to stop what is happening, then you have a moral obligation to take action to let people know that it's coming and who's behind it. You see why I don't agree with these guys? You see why I don't believe them? You see why I question everything? That's why. I've been in this system long enough and seen enough lies propagated throughout the entire population. They're playing on the fact that they think you're stupid. And every time you buy into a narrative, every time, like, social media blew up around the Trump trial. I'm like, why are you wasting time on this? They're not going to prosecute him. They're not going to send him to jail. If anything, they're going to execute the guy. And if they do that, civil war. So why are you worried about the court case? It's kabuki theater. I focus on the things that matter. And the things that matter to me are my family, my friends, this audience, getting people ready, and looking at the situation for what I think it really is versus what I want it to be. And you have to be pessimistic. You can't look at this with Pollyanna glasses and think that everything's going to be okay. It doesn't work that way. These people are truly evil. These people want to eradicate 6 billion people. That can't be allowed to stand. I mean, what, they killed 28 million people during the pandemic? And with the vaccines? 28 million. And nobody's even up in arms about it. So I'm focused on the things that matter. I could care less about the noise. I'm not taking any of this at face value. I'm not assuming that any of it's true. I'm assuming everything they're telling me is a nonsense lie, and I have to work my way backwards. That's where my head's at. And look, I'd love to say that, you know, that's in the background, and I think there's good people trying to disrupt their operations, but the people that matter are not doing that. So we have to help ourselves. We have to be as prepared as we can. We have to be the community. We have to be the ones that step forward and lead people when there's nobody else to lead. I didn't sign up for this. I mean, Troop and I had this conversation last night. He's like, you know, you can step away from this if you want. I'm like, I can't do that. You can't either. We're in this for the duration, whether we like it or not. That's the hand we're dealt. So we can bitch about it, or we can just do it. So we're just doing it. And right now, my mission is to inform people and get people ready. Okay, great. Does that mean I'm right about everything? No. In fact, I'm probably wrong more than I'm right. The point is, I'm looking at it from a realistic standpoint. I'm not looking at it as, hey, this could happen. I'm looking at it, this is what's going on, and this is probably how this is going to go. I'm not drinking the hopium, and I'm not stirring it with my arm. And I'm not trying to throw doom and gloom. I'm just trying to give you a realistic picture of what's going on. And realistically, the wheels are coming off this place. They've already come off in D.C. They've been running on rims for years now. They don't even realize it. In fact, most of them are so divorced from reality, it's unbelievable. It's a clown show. Such a clown show. The only people I trust in God, and I trust in the people around me that I know have proven themselves to be trustworthy. Everybody else, I always give a second look to. And you should too. At the end of the day, what matters is how we respond. And that's where I'm going to leave this. Focus on being prepared. Spend the next few days getting prepared and being ready to go. And most importantly, lose the fear. Nothing to be scared of. These people aren't scary. They want you to be scared because they can manipulate you. Don't let them. Get in their face. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.